This week is Parshas Yisroi. By Yishma Yisroi, Kohen Midyan, Kohen Moshe. Yisroi, the priest of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard, as Kol HaShirato Elokim LaMoshe LeYisrael. Everything that Elokim did for Moshe and Yisrael, Amai, Yehoitzi Hashem as Yisrael miMitzrayim. Hashem took out the Yidden from Mitzrayim. And there's a Talmudic question that has to be asked over here. The Torah is presenting Yisroi. On the one hand, it mentions that he was Chosein Moshe. What could be a bigger cover than that? The father-in-law of Moshe. But at the same time that he mentions that he was Chosein Moshe, it tells us he was Kohen Midyan, he was the priest of Midyan, which we know he was a Kohen for Avodah Zorah. He's Mefate Magolin for Avodah Zorah. He fattened up calves for Avodah Zorah. What kind of a COVID is that to call him the Kohen Midyan at the same time that we're calling him the Chosein Moshe? Furthermore, the Bali HaTaisa speak out by Yishma Yisroi. Yisroi is also the name of Hashivus. Why is he called Yisroi? Sheiter Parsha Achas Batayra. He added a Parsha to the Taira. What a tremendous accomplishment. So at the same time it says by Yishma Yisroi. That's a mile. And at the same time, it says Chosein Moshe. This also a tremendous Maila. In the middle, it sticks in Kohen Midyan. He was the priest of Midyan that served Avodah Zorah. And is it a covenant from Moshe that his shver was an Avodah Zorah? Now, there's another question that should be asked. Parshas Va'era, when the Torah's Miachas Shevet Levi, it says Va'era Shemais V'nei Levi L'sol Goyzam. These are the names of the Bnei Levi for their children. And the Ramban says over there, it doesn't say this by the other Shvatim, by Ruvain and Shimon. Bnei Ruvain sold a son. It only says it by Levi. Why is that? Because Shevet Levi, they were Chassidei Elyon, they were Roy, to be Miyuchas, just like Davis HaKdashim were. So the Bnei says something special by them, the Eilish Shemais Bnei Levi sold a son. And in that very parsha, when it speaks about the Yichus of Pinchas, who was in Shevet Levi, it mentions that Elozer's father married Mivnais Putiel. What's Mivnais Putiel for the daughters of Putiel? Someone that came from Yosef, Shepitbek the Yitzroi. He talked to the Yitzhara out of doing an Aveira. But he also came from Yisroi, who's Putiel, who's Mefate Magolim Avodah Zorah. What kind of a covet is that when you're being the Yachas Shevet Levi and you're talking about Pinchas ben Elozer and you're talking about Elozer to be mentioned as the chelik of his yichus? He was mafata magolim avodah zorah. This is a tremendous plea. So Rav Simcha Zisel Vroid is a katanik lebrach of the Rosh Yeshiva of Kevron. There's a mori de kipshat. And over here when it says that Yisroi was kayeng midyan, it's telling us a tremendous maila that he had. We know that Yisroi was a mevakech. Rashi brings down in this week's parasha, Shelo yiniach avodah zorah sheba'olam. He did not leave one avodah zorah in the world that he did not serve. What's the pshat? The pshat is that Yisroi was a mevakech. He was seeking the truth. And in his quest to seek the truth, he tried avodah zorah. And not only did he try one avodah zorah, so that didn't work for him, and that was not the truth. He went to another Avodah Zorah. Then he went to a third Avodah Zorah and to a fourth. Unlike regular Avodah Zorah that are serving Avodah Zorah for their taiva and they're stuck on it and they don't move on in life, Yisroi was moving from one belief to another. He was looking to find the truth. And eventually he did find the truth. Why? Because he was a seeker. He pursued the truth and he served that truth that he perceived at the time with all of his kreiches. And he was makaritz, not the emes, so he moved on. Therefore, when it says over here that he was the Kohen Midyan, is telling it to us as a maila, not because he served Avodah Zorah, but he was a Kohen Midyan in his quest to find the truth. And in his quest to find the truth, he eventually became the Chosein Moshe, and eventually he became the Yisroi that was Miaser, a parasha in the Torah. It's the same thing with the name Putiel. He was talking about the Magolim, probably deserve it. But it wasn't done out of something bad. It was done in a Chuzri was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. And it starts out with a Maisha. There was a king in the Khazars. He was a guy, and he was looking for the truth. He was a tremendous Chacham, and he studied various cultures and various religions, and he was searching for the truth. And one night he had a dream, and a Shemayim de Omegala to him, Kavanoscha Ritzuya, Abu Ma'asecha Einam Ritzuya. Your intentions are good, but your actions are not. You're going about it the wrong way. And the mailer from that, he said, listen, let me meet with representatives of both major religions. That was at the time, it was Christianity and the Muslim religion. And he met with them, and he had conversations with them, and in their discussions, they both referred back to Yiddishkeit. He saw that that was the source of everything. He said, what do I have to learn religion from a klesheni? You know, let me go straight to the source. He called the Chacham from the Yid. And the whole Sefer HaKuzri is that discussion of philosophy between the Melech and the Chacham. And eventually the Chacham, he convinced him, and the Melech became a Yid. He was Megayer. And there was a Jewish community somewhere in Russia. The king, he was the king of the Khazars. He was Megayer as Mishpacha. They were Megayer the whole area there. But I saw one of the Balei Musar asks a question. How is it that a Goyish king is Zeicha to such a revelation? Kavanoscha Ritzuya Abel Mazach Einem Ritzuya. We daven every single day. And we don't get such a gilui. We don't get such a revelation. And here you have a Goyish king that gets such a gilui min Hashemayim. What is the pshat? And the answer is because he was seeking of an emes. He was looking. He was searching. And whatever he perceived the emes at the time, that is what he did, and he did it b'chol kaychei. If in Hashemayim they see that someone is sincere and he's taka approaching the truth and he's keeping what he thinks is the truth, then they guide him in the right direction until he finds the truth. If we would have that same sincerity, if we would have that same bakoshes of emes, then we too would be zayich to such kiluyim. The Torah goes on. Vayarchei Saint Moshe is kol asher who oisa la'am. The father-in-law of Moshe saw everything he's doing for the nation. Vayomer, and he said, Mo ha'dover hazeh asher ata oisa la'am. What is this that you're doing for the nation? Madu ata yoshu v'badecha. Why are you sitting all alone? The kol la'am yitzav alecha, and the whole nation is standing by you. And Vayomer at Orev. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu said to his father-in-law, because the nation is coming to seek out the word of Hashem, they come to me, I judge between a man and his friend, I tell them the laws of Hashem in the Torah. It's not good what you're doing. You're going to get worn out. The people are going to get worn out. And that's when Yisra gave the Eitzah of appointing other judges to help him out. What was the shackle of the Tari over here? What was Moshe telling him? What did Yisra answer? Now, pastors, the Bnei Yisrael came to Moshe with the Nei Torah. They had arguments with one another in money matters. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to deal with their argument. It's a little bit difficult to understand. I once had this question. What were the Bnei Yisrael fighting over? They had everything they needed. They had the mon, they had the slav, they had the Be'erish El Miriam, they had vast riches that they had brought up from the Bezos Hayam and from the Mitzrayim. So what did they fight over? I once asked my shver this question. He said, what's the question? He said, they lived in close proximity to each other. And, you know, there were arguments. You know, they were human. And it's sad that one animal was mazik and other animals, Shoshanogra, and Kutapar, and so on. And questions came up. That was his answer. But apparently, it's not so cautious. And the Chofetz Chaim had a different shot over here. And Maisa Sha'oya Kakoya. The Chofetz Chaim, when he was a younger man, so they begged him in Rav that he should become the Rav. And he didn't want. But finally, they begged him and begged him. So he was asked him to become the Rav on three it can't be said that him is best. At number three, if he passes it in Torah, then they have to accept his ruling. And the minute they don't accept his ruling, he's resigning as the Rav. Fine, they accepted those three conditions. And sure enough, a short while later, a Torah came to him between two Balei Dvarim, and the Chofetz Chaim Paskin like one over the other, and the other fellow did not accept the Psak Din, so the Chofetz Chaim resigned as the Rav right away. And he explained. He said, the Gemara says that it's very rare that somebody should be able to be Mechavan to the Halacha L'maisa of an Emes. The Paskin, the Levi, the Hilchus is a very difficult thing.
Because you by yourself are going to get worn out.
victory because Har Sinai was far away from Mitzrayim. Because if you find even Eliezer Evan Avraham, he had feats of Zanderach, and in one day he made it to Choron for the Shidduch of Rivka. To Kalbachayimah, for that Klal Yisrael to marry the Torah. For that, he shouldn't give them a feats of Zanderach. So that could not have been the reason. Zot Dorachayim HaKodesh, that this is HaKodesh Baruch. It's not because he didn't want to give them the Torah. It's because the Chosn Klal Yisrael was not ready to marry the Torah yet. Because they were in the land of Mitzrayim, and they were in the land of Tumah, and they picked up a whole bunch of inyanim of Tumah, they needed a period of time to be mitar themselves. And the same way a Nida or a Zav needs 7 days to be mitar themselves, Klal Yisrael needed 7 times 7 to shed themselves of any Tumah, of any Ashroah, especially they were on the Mem Tensari Tumah in Mitzrayim, they needed 49 days to shed a different madrega, to get rid of a different madrega of Tuma, and simultaneously there was Zeichet to a different madrega of Kedusha until they came to the 50th day. So the Rechayim HaKadosh, that's where Rum is in the Pasuk. Bachodesh HaShlishi, L'tzeis B'nei Yisroel Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. It's because they were in Mitzrayim, and they just came out of Mitzrayim. They weren't yet ready to accept the Torah. They had spiritual tuma on them, and the Melech of his Baruch Hu had to give them this time to be able to work on themselves and to get rid of the tuma and to cleanse themselves from this tuma. The emphasis is that the Medrash says a similar thing. The statement Medrash like this. The Medrash says, Omer of Levi, Marshal of Ben Melech, Amid Mecholiai, the son of the king just got up from a lengthy sickness. So the fellow that was taking care of him, his caretaker, said he's ready to go back to school. Right? He's already healthy, he's ready to go back to school, he's ready to go back to learning. But the mellow says, no, I'm sorry. The disease might be cured, but my son's shine, his look, he still looks schwach. How can he go to school? He still looks schwach. You know what? Let him wait 2 or 3 months, let's feed him well, let's give him enough stuff to drink, and let him build up his energy, and he'll look good, and then I'm going to send him out to school. Dr. Medrash is the same thing with Klal Yisrael. They left Mitzrayim. Them as they were right to be Makabal, because that's what Hashem wanted to do. But they had Balei Mumin, they had people that were weak, they had people that were deficient in their bodies. Because the Baruch Hu said, their shine did not yet come back. You know what? Let them wait 2 or 3 months. Let them eat the mon. Let them drink the bear shemilrium. Let them eat the slav. And afterward, they could be makabel the tiger. The parsha pshat, if you learn the medrash, it sounds like Hashem was concerned they should physically get back on their feet. It's a little bit hard to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want them to have physical tainugim as a hakdama to kabbalas ha-tayra. So literally, Yehuda Lefkowitz says, and we're talking about over here, spiritual blemishes, spiritual movement. When they came out of Mitzrayim, yes, they were free right now. But the Hashkav of Mitzrayim still was left with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let them eat the man, let them drink from the Be'er Shemiriam, and this has in it, Ruchni Yizikis Gulas, to clear them of their movement, to clear them of their blemishes. Not only that, but a very important nekuda in the mon was they realized that they are sitting at the table of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're eating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. And one of the conditions for Kabbalah Satayra is Yisrael v'Yiraisa v'Kusha v'Richu Chadu. We are totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we know that we're dependent on Hashem, that is one of the conditions to fulfill before Matan Torah. The Yaisa Biker was on the third day in the morning. By Hikoilis who broke him, there was thunder and lightning. And there was a heavy mountain on a heavy cloud on the mountain. So here it says, by Hikoilis who broke him, there were sounds and lightning. Later on, after the giving of the Aseret HaDibros, it says, V'chol Amroim es ha-koyleis ves ha-lapidim. The whole nation saw the sounds and the flame. The stealth of the flash, and why in the beginning was it merely lightning? And afterwards, Aftermath and Zayrat calls it flame. What happened over here? The Zayir HaKadosh asks the question. And the Zayir HaKadosh says, before Matan Torah, before they were Masukin, before the Tikkun, it was merely rays of lightning. After they received the Torah, and after they became Masukin, so then it turned into flame. What the beer had born, what changed, but until it was lightning, and afterwards it was flame. I once heard a Mary Dickens shot. Before the Tikkun of Kabbalah's HaTorah, their vision was not so clear, because they still had in themselves the tumah of Mitzrayim. They still had in themselves the poison that the snake inflicted on Adam b'shas the hate of the Eitz HaDaat. When it came b'shas Matan Torah, the tikkun of Matan Torah, it brought them to the madreig of the Malachim. It says chorus al haluchos al tikri chorus el acherus. Acherus mi Malacham others, they will fear the Malacham others. Chayrus mi Eitzahara, they were free of the Eitzahara, and their vision was clear, they're able to see everything clearly. So the Rechila, they're only able to see the rays of lightning. There was a weak kind of a Re'iyah. After the Tikkun, they got their vision in its fullest, in its totality, and then their minimized vision of Lechatchila became a maximized vision, and now Mamash turned into flame. Now, this is the derech of Torah. The Torah is like a magnifying glass. The Torah takes something which to us seems inconsequential, a little meter here, a little meter there, and the Torah magnifies it, and it teaches us the importance of it. L'chitchila, it looks like something which is small. L'chitchila, our vision of the importance of that thing is minimal. After we learn the Torah, and after we become fluent in the Torah, the Torah magnifies everything, and it shows us, it magnifies the importance of every single little prat. It tells the Rosh Yeshiva, HaGoyin Rav Elie Meir of Lovzatzal, used to say, by great dimensions and the Stokin Kleinigkeit, by great people, there is nothing that's trivial. They understand that even what to us, the regular person, is a little thing, to them it's a great thing. Rav Elie Meir used to bend down, if he saw a cigarette butt on the floor of the Beit Medrash, used to bend down and pick it up. Most people wouldn't pay heed to it, they just pass it by. But to an Adam Gadol, he understands what Kavanat Torah is. A cigarette butt on the floor is a lack of Kavanat Torah. The Torah is megadol our sensitivity. The Torah magnifies our sensitivity. The little thing. The Astam Shadow over here, l'chitchila, things look like lightning. It was a dimmer light. After the Tikkun of Matan Torah, it turned into a full-fledged light. It turned into Lapidim. Finish off with a word from the Chassam Sefer. It says at the end of the parasha, the Lysal and the Marlis al Mizvichi, you should not go up to the Mizveach on steps. Ashavoysi gola ervoscha olam. The simple shot in the Pasuk is, you're not allowed to make steps to the Mizveach. Because when you take steps, then the legs of the person spread. And then it's a lack of tzniut, and it's not covered for the stones that you're walking up onto to the Mizbeach. And for that, the Sfarim bring down, Madach, we have to be sensitive to the covered of stones. Kavachem, you have to be sensitive to the covered of Neyodah. But that's the simple shot of the Pasuk. So I'm sorry for Darshan, a different shot over here. Because the Gemara Mesechta's Brachas, that Nun Heyom et Al, that says, Omer of Yitzchak, there are three things that bring about a kitruk against the person in a Shemayim. Three things remind Shemayim of a person's aveva. If he walks by a wall that's close to falling down, he walks by it and he's not afraid, so in a Shemayim dem oira rechachiva, oh, this guy's so sure of his zechuyais. He's so sure his zechuyais are going to save him from a wall falling down. Let's look at his record and let's talk and see if he's roilakak. And then they look into it and they see he has aveva. That's number one. Number two, iyun tvila. Looking into tefillah is ma'ayver, a kitrug against the person. Number three, if somebody tattles against his friend to Shemayim, Rabbeinu Shalom, look at what this guy is doing to me, take care of him. So they look at the first guy's record, at the one that complains, your record is so good, you're telling us to take care of him, do something to him. And what about you? You're not what's wrong with that? The Taisa says we're talking about a different kind of Eon Tfilo over here. Eon Tfilo, which is Kafana for Tfilo, and looking into the meaning of Tfilo, that the Gevalda Gazaki get great time for it. But here the Eon Tfilo that's not a good thing is, the fellow looks at his Tfilo, he says, oh, I davened Gevalda today, and I davened Gevalda yesterday, and he looks out and he says, they should be answering me already. And he looks out after this Tfilo, oh, they're going to answer me for sure. And then he looks, why are they not answering me yet? I deserve it. As Kumpmir, I davened well for it, I should be answered already. That kind of Eon Tfilo is my favorite kitzur, because the Shemaim said, oh, really? You think your davening is so great? You think that your takia, you deserve to get this bracha? They look into his record and they find the avarus. That kind of an Eon Tfilo is not a good thing. So, because I'm sorry for darshens isn't to the posse. So, a salad and mylois al mizbechi. In your avodah, when you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your mizbech is your tfilo. Don't go up and look at your mylois and say, look, I'm davening well, I'm davening constantly, I deserve it. I deserve to get my bracha, I deserve to be answered. I shall always go ervosolo. Because if you do, they're going to look into your record, and then they'll see that you have certain avarus there, they're going to reveal the bad things about you. So the best thing is, don't be ma'ayin in your tefila, don't expect anything, but we salad the malos on this. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.